Acts chapter number 3. So Acts chapter 3, begin reading in verse number 1. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we'll read responsibly. I'll read the odd verses. We'll read the even verses together. We'll read down to verse number 12. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them which entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" And let's pray. And Lord, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, the responsibility that we have to gather together with your people under your word and its preaching. And God, I pray that you'd move hearts, you'd open minds, you'd open ears. And God, please speak to us exactly how you want to speak to us today. And might we be receptive to it, that we might not just be challenged, but that we might be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We are in Acts chapter number 3 this morning for the first few weeks, as we typically do whenever we have a new theme for the year. Our messages will be geared around the theme. Our theme this year, of course, is reaching them, teaching them. Taking the responsibility that God has given each of us to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel with those who do not know Jesus Christ, and then encouraging others who do know Jesus Christ and new people, and learning how to step out of ourselves and be a blessing to others. So often people come to church, and this is a good reason. I came here because I need help. I think we all need help, right? But I came here because I need help, and well, you're not getting any either, so there you go. So it's working. They come here, and it's, you know, I got a struggle, and that's great. But what God wants to do with you, just so you know, God wants you to be encouraged and strengthened and helped to help you, but also that you may help others. Amen. And so you got to understand that the best way for you to get help is have a desire to also give help. The best way that we can ever enjoy our salvation is to make sure that we are sharing that salvation with those who do not know him. I don't do this often, but I preached in college chapel a couple weeks ago, and I used this text, and as I was looking at it, I'm like, that truth is good also for our theme. And so I modified it a little. Plus, college kids are on their bus route right now anyhow. So it's not like they're hearing the same thing. The emphasis in Acts chapter 3 and 4, in chapters 3 and 4, is on the name of Jesus Christ. A name implies much more than identification. When we're talking about the name of Christ, it's not just identifying who he is. It denotes also authority and reputation and power. And we get all of that from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, his name has authority because he is the Son of God. And as it tells us in the book of Philippians, it's the name above every name. And by the way, it is the name at which every individual will eventually bow. Whether they're bowing at him because they love him and know him, or they're bowing at him because of the awesome judgment which is about to come their way, as we will see more thoroughly in Revelation. But there is a notable contrast between Peter in chapter 2 and this story in chapter 3. In chapter 2, we have Pentecost, and it's 50 days after Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a huge crowd there at Pentecost. And here is Peter preaching the gospel to this huge crowd. And now here he is talking to an individual. He's not a preacher to thousands. Now he's going to be a personal worker to a single individual. He's not going to preach to the multitude right then. He's reaching out to one man. So we look at this story, we see a perfect illustration of what was said at the end of chapter 2. The end of chapter 2, it said the Lord was adding to the church daily. On a daily basis, people were being reached with the gospel. And not just being reached with the gospel, but being added to the group that had already been reached. And they were growing in their faith also. And we're seeing here in this story exactly how that happens. Peter and John are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. As they go there, they meet a man that is in desperate need. Think of this man begging. By the way, he was smart. He was at the right place with the crowd that was there. He went there to get to try to get some money. As Peter and John come amidst a thousand of people, Peter's focus is narrowed on this one man. The man asked him, you know, hey, they asked for some money. Now, I believe Peter and John were Baptists. Why? They said, silver and gold have we none. Okay, that just kind of seems to be how it is. They didn't have any money. He says, but I got something for you that is much better. The man gets healed on the spot and runs away joyfully and happily. I see in this story some tremendous principles about how we can have the kind of life as Peter and John did. Specifically, Peter here is taking the lead, and Paul does later on, that helps other people. Understand this. God doesn't want to just save you to clean you up and put you on a shelf to be some kind of shiny trophy for others to look at. Now, by the way, God does want to clean you up. But not just so you're cleaned up and your life is straightened out and now you can go on your way and it's all good. God cleans us up, yes, to help us, and yes, because he loves us, but God wants to clean us up so that once we're ready, so that we can go out and help others that whose lives also need to be cleaned up. You know, we're not some trophies. God cleans you up and makes you a weapon in his hand to go out and to do his work. Our weapon, your tool sounds better, okay? And that's what he wants from us. In this story, I can see how we can be the Christian who makes a difference in the life of somebody. But there are some things that are going to be involved if we're going to do that. I see five elements involved in an individual that has a life that will help somebody else. And by the way, I hope that that is your desire. So many people are attach themselves to so many different causes, and causes that have no meaning. Causes that are just, you know, I was visiting someone yesterday as we were out on Saturday, and I told our class, I drove down, and I guess they had a parade, a Martin Luther King Jr. parade, and I got stuck in the traffic, but I guess they had some type of demonstration there, and I saw somebody just carrying a sign that says, no more war. I'm not against, they can do what they want. But just carrying a sign that says no more war isn't going to change the world so that there is no more war. Sometimes we think because we go and hold a sign somewhere, we're making a difference. Never forget, my wife and I, we were in San Diego at the beginning of last year, and we went down, we were away for a few days, and on Saturday we went down to the farmer's market, and they were doing some type of protest, and so my wife and I were walking, the signs that these people were holding were so vile. just the innuendos and the things that we're saying. But they're making a difference by holding a sign. Can I just tell you something? I'm not against if you want to hold a sign. But holding a sign doesn't make a difference. Yeah. You know how you make a difference in this world? You help an individual. You live a life outside of yourself. And it's not just, I'll give you 2 hours on a Saturday to walk around and hold a sign that no one's paying attention to and isn't going to change anything. And I go home and have lunch and pat myself on the back and I made a difference. Did you really? No. Making a difference is that person needs somebody and I'm going to befriend them. That person needs encouragement. That person needs somebody that'll step up in their time of need and not just hold a sign, and not that I'm against holding a sign, but go up and say, what can I do to help you? How can I be a blessing to you? Amen. How do you live that kind of life? Well, first of all, it has to be a sacrificial life. Look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. We understand this phrase so well. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, I hope that's not the case with all of you because we really need to get a new projector tonight, okay? So I hope you have a little. If when we have the offering, don't put a piece of paper in there that says, in the name of Jesus Christ, go buy one, okay? Attach a $100 bill to that thing. But he says, silver and gold have I none. Now, I want you to think about this. Why didn't Peter have silver and gold? And maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit. Well, I think there's a couple reasons Peter didn't have any silver and gold. First of all, do you know that Peter, before he started following Christ, was a businessman? He had his own business. He was a fisherman. And I'm not saying Peter was rich, but he probably did okay for himself. And then in the early church, the early believers, because they were trusting Christ, they kind of had all things common. Why? Not that they were communists, because that doesn't work, or socialists, whatever you call it. The reasons they had all things common is because a lot of them would lose their jobs and lose situations because they trusted Christ, and so they all kind of pitched in together to make sure everybody was taken care of. So he didn't just have silver. He wasn't broke here. That's not necessarily what the text is saying. But I will say he didn't have a lot of money because he was involved in being sacrificial. Yeah. If we're going to have a life that helps somebody else, we are going to have to sacrifice. There was a day when Peter was there and Jesus came and said, hey, follow me. And he was a fisherman. He goes, I'm going to change your plan now. You're not going to be a fisherman. You're going to be a fisher of men. And Peter forsook what he had to forsake to do what God wanted him to do. Whatever that entailed, I do know it entailed this. It entailed sacrifice. Peter was willing to give up something for something else. So he gave it up. God is not necessarily calling you or I to give up everything in order to reach this world. But there will be times he's calling us to give up something. If we're going to help others, we have to be sacrificial. Think about the things that you can do. And I'm just talking about practical things. We go out on Tuesday nights and try to share the gospel with those who don't know Christ. Is it really a big sacrifice to give up a couple hours on a Tuesday night? And by the way, we're not the kind of church where it's like, you know, we want your Monday, your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We don't do all that stuff. I work really hard to make sure the schedule is not overbearing. Okay? And so is it too much to come on Tuesday night? Is it too much to come maybe? By the way, I appreciate our bus workers. They come early before Sunday school starts to get on a bus, and our bus drivers, God bless them. Commercial break here. If you'd like to join our bus ministry and be a driver, come see me. We'll help you get your license. And we could always use extra drivers. People get sick and stuff. But they come early and they're out here and they're getting the buses started and they're driving and they're picking up kids and driving down streets and hopefully not running over people and hopefully not hitting parked cars, causing accidents. But they give up their time to pick up people that wouldn't be able to come to church if we didn't have a bus. And then you know what happens after church is over? God blesses them. They get back on the bus and go and take the kids home. That's called sacrifice. And there's things God, and is it really asking too much to give up to impact what's going on? Usually what is keeping us from helping others is we just get a little bit too selfish. We get caught up in our life. Brother Hawking, course, we miss Brother Hawking. He died a couple weeks ago on Christmas Eve, the 24th of December. I admire him greatly. He was on the mission field in Africa for 57 years. 57 years. The only reason they came back is because Mrs. Hawking started getting a little bit of dementia.
Yes.
Dr. Hawking passed away. I went to his funeral. In Africa, he reached a lady named Sylvia. And she's been here. She's visited our church, and I saw her and talked to her at the funeral. But in the funeral, she gave up, and she gave a testimony. She was like his daughter. Reached her when she was young. He let her come live in the house with them. And so that was like her dad. What she did is she left Africa and came to America and went to college to become a doctor. Yeah. Because she could use that skill in ministry over there to draw people in. And she said as she was here and she was getting, and she was in college and she was towards getting her degree, she said Dr. Hawking just gave her a suggestion, said, you know, you might want to consider becoming a United States citizen. That might come in handy later. And she said, I told Dad no. She said, I don't want to become a citizen because I don't want to be tempted to stay here in America and live a comfortable life when God has called me to go to Africa. Go back to my home in Africa and reach my people. You know what that's called? Sacrifice.
Yep.
If we're going to help somebody, we have to give up. Whether it's our time, and we know the routine, our time, our talent, and our treasure. But we have to get outside of ourselves. And when we do that, it takes a little bit of sacrifice. But it wasn't just a sacrificial life. I want you to notice it was a selfless life. Selfless life. He goes, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And if you look at all the disciples' lives, they all gave up quite a bit. Every single one of them died a martyr's death. By the way, we know how Peter died. History tells us that Peter died by being crucified. And when they were going to crucify him, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked to be crucified upside down. These guys all gave up everything. Their life was very selfless. If you are not sharing your life as a Christian in some way, then I'll just be real honest with you. I don't mean this condemningly. I mean this to challenge you. Then we're not really living the Christian life. The Christian life is the most wonderful thing you could ever be involved with.
Yes, sir.
It's a blessing beyond measure. Trying to follow the Bible and just trying to be a Christian and all the blessing that God brings our way, there's nothing like it, but that's not why God gives that to us. There's an element of it where we have to be able to step outside of our lives, and our lives is not about me, and it's not about you. It's got to be about others. We try to do that as a church.
Amen.
Look, everything about our church isn't just about us. We love the world, and we love missions, and we want to be involved. Listen, and I'm not kidding when I say our church, and I'm not complaining, we do fine. Our church runs on a bare-bones, straight-up budget because I want to make sure we're good stewards. Say, could you use more money? Duh.
Come on.
But can I tell you something? We're still going to give to missions. Missions has nothing to do with us here. Nothing. Nothing. I don't mean missions, I mean the money. That's all sent out there. Why? Because the world needs to be reached and we need to be involved with it.
Amen.
And the church isn't just about us. We get so selfless. We get so selfish. It just fights us. You know what God might ask you when it comes to using what you have? He goes, what do you have? I like the story of Moses. Moses is whining and complaining. God goes, what's in your hand? I got a rod. He goes, let me show you what that rod can do if I'm using it. It's almost like God saying, you know what, Moses? I got this covered. I can use whatever you have, and I'll give you exactly what you need for every situation. Just trust in me. God wants you to be willing to use what you have and not what you don't have. See, so often I can't do anything in the church because I'm not this or not. I can't sing. Well, get in line. But you can do something else.
Yes, sir.
Could you work in a bus ministry? Could you drive a bus? Could you encourage a new person who's coming to church? Could you take a new person out to eat? I mean, can you do something? Well, I could never teach a Sunday school class. I know, but you can encourage somebody one-on-one. See, what we always do is we base what we do based on what we don't have, not on what we do have. God is not going to, and I don't like the word judge, but grade you based on other people's skills or other people's talents. It's about what you have. He gave the talents, right? The one guy had 5 and he made 10. He doubled. Other guy had, 2? He had 4. It's like, he didn't say, how come you didn't get it? He's like, well done. He just got on the one guy that did nothing with what he had. Yep. Like, you hit it. You didn't even try to use it. Let's not be like that. God wants us to do something. What can you do? Thirdly, I want you to notice we have to have a spiritual life. How did Peter heal this man? He goes, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter wasn't like these fake faith healers. Come on up here and I'll get my prayer cloth. And I'll take that thing and I'll wrap it around and slap you upside the head a couple times to make sure it's working. And next thing you know, you're healed. There's a reason those people fall down. He has bad breath. He slaps them in the forehead and wonders why they fall down. That's assault. Okay? Peter didn't do some show. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? He understood the power to help people did not come from him. Remember, chapters 3 and 4 are talking about the name of Jesus. And when Peter gets up and preaches, he's trying to tell him, he goes, hey, it had nothing to do with us. This is what Jesus Christ did. But let me say this, if you're not spiritual, you can't share that with somebody else. You can't share an experience that you do not have. God wants you to know him closely so that you can help others to get to know him closely. We can't encourage someone to read their Bible if we don't read their Bible. We can't tell somebody that God is good if we're not allowing God to be good in our lives. And God is always good. I think you understand what I'm saying there. Okay? But when you have that relationship and you're excited about Christ and you're doing something for Christ, you know what? It's really easy to want to share that with somebody else. That excitement is just natural. It just flows off. Let me ask you, how is your relationship with God? God wants your relationship right, yes, because he wants to have a relationship with you, but so that you'll be able to encourage others. Your life isn't about you. Let's work on our spiritual life. You can't help anybody spiritually if you are not spiritual. Next, I want you to see that you have to have a strengthening life. I like this. He goes, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he didn't just stare at him like, let's do this. Look at verse 7. And he took him, how? By the right hand and lifted him up. Now think of it this way. This guy didn't know how to walk. He was lame. Not like some of the people I know are lame. Not like that. Couldn't walk. And so, for him to get up and walk is like, you know what Peter did? The name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then he reached down and grabbed his hand and helped him up. Now, if the guy was healed, and he was, if the guy could walk, and he could have got up himself. But Peter wanted to make sure that the guy, who was probably a little apprehensive, Peter's like, let me help you up here, buddy. And up he went. You know what we like to do? We like to tell people what to do. But we don't want to be there to lend a hand when they need to do it. I can't just say, and I wish it was this way, but I can't just say, well, someone's struggling in their life. Well, it's like, I preached about that 2 weeks ago. Didn't they get it? Man, they should have got it. But sometimes they need a one-on-one, like, you know what? You can do that. Let me encourage you. Let me help you get started on that. Well, you don't just give somebody tracts and say, here, Go tell somebody about Jesus. Boom. They don't know. You know what's good? Hey, come with me as I share Jesus and you'll see how it's done. I tried that one time. I got a new bus worker, Reuben. And we're out soul winning on the bus route. And I said, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? Because I don't know. I said, you know, the Bible tells us you can know for sure and you can take care of it. Can I share that with you? And the guy goes, you know, I want to know that. I'm like, okay. I said, Reuben's going to tell you. Listen, Reuben almost swallowed his tongue. Reuben's like, Reuben had no clue. And I'm like, what Reuben's trying to say? And I jump back in. Okay? That's not the way to do it. Well, you know, that's how you teach someone to swim. You throw them in the pool. That's how you teach someone how to drown. Okay? Some people, that might be a good thing. But the point is, we don't want to physically help. By the way, have you ever, someone asks you to do something and you don't know how to do it? Isn't it nice when someone shows you how to do it, then you can do it? Someone falls, like, I told you that if you don't obey God, you're going to be in trouble. They don't need that. Someone does something dumb, they don't need a history lesson. They need someone to say, let me help you up and let's try that again. Right? Is that how you do it with your kids when they're you know, you're going to learn to walk. Now, if your kid's 12 and he can't walk, there's an issue there. Let me help you how to walk. You know, come on. And you try to encourage them. And they take force. You help them back up. You can do this. Why don't we do that when we're helping people? Because we just don't want to get involved. We don't want to waste the time. Someone's struggling with something. They need someone to talk to. The pastor just preached about that last week. I know, but maybe a phone call and you encouraging them might help them. It takes time, people. By the way, let's just say this. Think for a minute. Has there ever been anybody in your Christian life that went out of their way and helped you? Has there been? Think about it. How come they didn't tell you, I told you about it, now go do it? Maybe that's what God wants to use you to do. Just be an encouragement. But we have to be willing to live that kind of life. And lastly, it's a seeking life. Why'd you read verse 12? That kind of seemed to go to a whole different thing. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. See, what happened now, this miracle got some notoriety. And people were noticing it, and guess what Peter saw? Peter said, opportunity. Right? Look, these guys were always looking for some way to be involved. And so Peter, these people are running like, what's going on, this guy and all that? And Peter's like, preaching time. Now I can share the truth of Jesus with everybody because they're wondering what happened here. And I'll explain to them that it wasn't because of us. There's nothing special about us. It was because the name of Jesus healed this man. And he could do the same for them. See, if you're going to help somebody, you have to be looking to see how you can be a help. Well, you know, I didn't know that person needed help. Someone walks right, we don't even say hi to them. Let's look and say, you know what, God, would you use me to be an encouragement? Would you use me to help and be a blessing to somebody else? We wouldn't want to pray that. By the way, do you know there are opportunities everywhere we look? You know what they're called? People. Now, we can look at people several different ways. You can look at them as irritation. How you doing, Raul? Irritation. You can look at people as inconvenience. Exactly. Or you know what you can look at people as? Opportunity. You know, I wish as a pastor, and it's not true because I didn't come into church this way. I wish that, you know, when the new person comes into church, like, hey, we just moved in an area, you know, we're looking for a church. And it's like, you know, I love God and I read my Bible every day and I win souls. And hey, where's the tithing envelopes? That's what a pastor wants. It's like, just, can I join the choir? I have a bus driver's license, you know, can I drive a bus? They don't say that. You usually talk to me like, we're that close to getting a divorce. I hate him. I have this problem in my life. But can I just tell you something? That's what church is for. Amen. When I walked into church, I was not ready made. And I did not look ready made. But I thank God there was people there that were patient. I thank God there was people there that saw me and saw a little bit of desire and said, hey, can I foster that in you? You know, I learned about prayer because Greg Beard saw me and saw that I liked stuff. It says, you ought to read this book. And he gave me a book on prayer. Okay. I learned about going out and soul winning because Dave Sisson, you know him too. Hey, what are you doing on Thursday night? I need a partner. Why don't you come with me? And he wouldn't even let me go to church. I said, I'll meet you at church. He goes, no, I'm picking you up. I'm like, I'll meet you at church. If I told you I'd meet you, he goes, no, I'm picking you up. I'm like, you're picking me up. He didn't want me to back out. But I learned that from him. Learned about, you know, bus ministry from some of the Navy guys. First of all, I learned it, I think her name was Angie. I don't know if she was still there. Single mom with three kids, running a bus route. Now, these days, you'd probably go to jail. It wasn't a law then. She had a little small 50-passenger bus with 120 kids on it. She's like, come help me on the bus route. I went one time, and I'm like, she is nuts. I didn't even want to go to church after that. But you know what? She taught me about serving just by seeing her heart. And Brother Hansberger, same thing. Yeah. And I can just give people after people that taught me different things just by being around them. Why don't you be that kind of person? Why don't you be the kind of person someone comes one day and says, you know where I got a heart for souls? Brother so-and-so in the church, not me, not reaching unashamedly. Brother so-and-so in the church just asked me to go out, taught me about that. You know where I learned about reading my Bible? Brother so-and-so said, hey, if you're struggling with that, why don't we text back and forth each day and we'll make sure we're both reading our Bible. And you can go on and on and on. But we're not going to do that unless we're willing to have the kind of life that we're willing to step outside of ourselves and see church is not just a time for us, although it is a time for you, but not just a time for you, but it's a time for you to think about somebody else. Let's stand together for just a minute, please.